Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Everyone has an opinion, but he's got the Von Hessler Doctrine. Eric Von Hessler on WSB.
Live from Sherwood Forest, Hour 1, the radio hour of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins now. I am the aforementioned Eric Von Hessler, surrounded as usual by the Doctrinaires, man of a thousand voices. Tim Andrews is here.
Good morning.
She is so pregnant, this is not a joke, this is her due day. Autumn Fisher is here.
Hello.
Okay, if you have any problems at any time and you need to scamper away, feel free to do so.
Oh, please, keep your fingers crossed for me, please.
Is the hubby at home, in case?
No. Mm-mm. No. We're so just going about our business.
You're just going to Uber it to the hospital if you need to.
I'm just going to stand outside and just see who picks me up.
You know what? Hitch a ride. And also, the handsomest producer in all of producery, Jared Yamamoto, is here.
Happy Friday.
Yeah, you know what? You usually annoy me with the first thing that you say, but today you do not. It is a happy Friday. It's another beautiful day in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm in such a good mood. I got to tell you right now, I do not feel like working. So let's not work. Let's have fun. Let's start with this.
Headlines for Friday, January 27th.
All right, first of all, before we get to headlines, I just want to say, there are so many Trump headlines. This president of ours is doing so many things and upsetting so many people, and I only have an hour on the radio side every day. So rather than starting with this, that, or the other Trump story, let me just go through, 15 or 20 of the possibilities with headlines. Okay, so Trump suggested import tax, 20% import tax from Mexico, right, to build the wall. The State Department, outgoing mass exodus of people at the State Department, they don't like Trump. I think that's probably a good thing. Trump campaign against bureaucracy alarms federal workers. You know what? Anything that alarms federal workers, I'm all for. The White House will publish a weekly list of crimes committed by immigrants. I don't know. Trump preparing to rock UN. Senior Secret Service agent
what,
says...
a concert?
Yes, he's going to put on...
Peter Frampton is opening for me.
Senior Secret Service agent would take jail time over a bullet for Trump. Trump says torture works as U.S. plans terror investigation review. Trump makes claims during ABC News interview about voter fraud. Trump opens new investigation on voter fraud. Trump is still using his old insecure Android phone, according to reports. Trump to Chicago, fix violent crime or I'll send in the feds. Donald Trump tells Detroit auto CEOs that environmental regulations are out of control. And Iran actress to boycott Oscars over racist Trump visa ban. Can I say to this actress, we don't care about what our actors and actresses think about politics, and we're not going to have Iranians lecture us about civil rights. Okay, that's probably not going to happen. So what I'm saying to you, start me off with a non-Trump story.
Sure. All right.
I've just gone through, and what I'll do is throughout the hour, I'll go back to some of these headlines, and I'll give you a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Because there's some things that this guy does that I like. I like the rolling back of regulations. I like the unleashing of the animal spirits of the business world. But when you're saying that, okay, see what I said, I don't want to talk about it, and now here I am talking about it. But... just saying that 3 to 5 million people were fraudulent voters, where does that number come from? Do you know this? I looked into this. If you took every single person that's in jail in the United States of America, small jails, county jails, city jails, perhaps there's a Hamlet jail somewhere. Do we still have Hamlets in the United States of America?
Sounds or charming.
Federal prisons.
The most charming jail.
Did you know that if you put them all together, there's 2 million people incarcerated in this country? So he's talking about 3 to 5 million people voting illegally. You would have voter fraud at every polling place all the time for this to be true. And I don't quite understand why he's continuing on. I think there's a number out there that maybe 400,000. I don't know. I don't even know if that's a real number. In Georgia, they're saying we didn't have one single fraudulent vote. I don't know where all these coming from, but 3 to 5 million. So that kind of talk. And also, suddenly Mexico's our biggest enemy. You know, it's like we've decided to humiliate the president of Mexico. I don't quite understand that. So the Von Hessler doctrine is, I like some things, I don't like other things. But if you're going to lift regulations, if you're going to lower taxation, if you're going to release the animal spirits of the business world, I'm all for that. And I'm wondering why you just don't stop there. Why do we have to have all of this other nonsense? Or as Herman Cain says, noise. So give me a story that's not about Trump.
From Trump to doom here, Eric. The Bulletin of Atomic Scientists say we are creeping closer to the apocalypse.
So what did they do? As usual, Jared misses the punch of the story.
They moved the doomsday clock to 2.5 minutes until midnight. So that's the closest it's ever been to that point.
Yeah, and what I say to that is, if the sounder of
fake news.
This doomsday clock is beyond fake news. Let me tell you, they say it's 2.5 minutes till doomsday.
Correct.
Which I think still means the end of the world.
Yes.
So if there was any validity to this whatsoever, this would have been the response. You say it to me. Say, we're 2.5 minutes from the end of the world, Jared.
We're 2.5 minutes till the end of the world.
Why isn't this the response? The reason that isn't the response is because there's absolutely no there. I'm reading the Washington Post. I know people, WSB, don't like the fact that some of their hosts actually read the Washington Post. I apologize. I read across the whole spectrum. Now, their headline is just, the doomsday clock just advanced. Thanks to Trump, it's now just 2.5 minutes to midnight, which means doomsday.
The end is nigh. The end is nigh.
What does it mean?
I don't know.
It's a stupid symbolic thing that's symbolic of nothing.
I don't know. They've spent a lot of time calculating and coming up with reasonable, real facts and data.
You know, I'm looking at a picture and I see one of the scientists here that's involved. And this guy's a big time liberal. This whole thing is just such phony baloney. First of all, when did it start? 1945.
That's correct.
Okay, 1945, they started this thing. I like the way the clock is symbolic. Sitting at the intersection of art and science. What the hell? What does that mean?
Sounds factual to me.
So I should get upset by this symbol that stands at the intersection of art and science because it might mean something. In the very beginning, it was 17, was it 7 minutes till or 17 minutes? So I can't remember. Whatever their first one in 19...
I think it was 7.
It was actually 1947 when this thing came out. So they set the clock at 7 minutes before midnight, meaning doomsday, in 1947. Why? Because one of the scientists involved, his wife was an artist, and she created the clock. And she thought it looked good. It was aesthetically pleasing to set it at 7 minutes before midnight. That's how much we should take our cues from this. And supposedly, in the beginning, it was atomic scientists, and all they were talking about was nuclear weapons, hydrogen bombs, atomic bombs, things that would really end humanity. It's supposed to be about the things that end humanity. But now it's become even more political. Climate change. Donald Trump doesn't believe in climate change. Now, first of all, even if you do believe in climate change, I don't think it's an end of humanity kind of thing. It's people being displaced, maybe some people dying. It's not the end of humanity as we know it. So they've dipped that in. And they've also, in their explanation, they've said something about how we have a president now who doesn't look at the facts of science and denies climate change. You know what I would say to scientists? That's your fault. You got political. When the scientists got political, that's when you throw anything into the realm of politics, I've got news for you. There's always 17 different sides of a political argument. And once you decide to throw something into the political arena, you're not going to be allowed to be a monolith anymore. Suddenly, things are going to get debated. So if scientists are upset that there are politicians out there who say they don't believe their findings, don't blame the politicians. They're politicians. They're being political. They're doing their proper job. You want to argue with them? Find your politician to spout your side. You're the ones who messed up. When the scientists decided to get political, that's when they threw science into the political realm. Now, I have no idea what to believe about climate change anymore, except that the climate does change, and I'm assuming that it is changing. How much of it, the current change that we see now is being caused by man-made activity? I've got to be honest with you, I don't know. But I have read things on both sides from scientists. Somehow I found the 2% of scientists who disagree and read lengthy articles that they've written. But the fact of the matter is the scientists got political. Aren't there some scientists out there saying they're going to have their big march on Washington?
I believe so.
Which, you know, will be hilarious because scientists take themselves so seriously. I guarantee you they'll all wear, like, the white smocks.
I can't wait to see the signs.
Oh, I'm sure they'll be erudite.
Yes,
so if the scientists look, scientists should. I didn't mean smocks. What am I talking about? The white
lab coats.
Yes, the lab coats. Not
that's
the smocks.
The only type of scientist there is.
Saying that's what they're going to do. They're going to make sure that they wear the uniform of the scientist. And if you want to go out there and march, scientists should not be marching as scientists. At the end of the day, when they clock out of their research laboratory and they're themselves, they should get involved in politics as an individual just like everybody else. But when you get out there and you throw yourself as scientist into the political arena, guess what? No one gets to be a monolith that isn't challenged, that goes unanswered in the political arena. So if you don't like the fact that science is now political, blame yourself, scientist, because you're the ones who decided to become political. More of this nonsense when we return.
Minute closer to midnight. It is now 2.5 minutes to midnight.
Oh, I can't get off of this doomsday clock nonsense. Again, why aren't people running for the hills? If it's 2.5 minutes to doomsday, why aren't people running for the hills? Because we all understand it's nonsense. It means nothing. And then we figured out who this guy was. I saw the picture where they're unveiling the new doomsday clock because Trump has somehow moved us 30 seconds closer to something that we haven't hit. It was supposed to be 7 minutes in 1947. It's symbolic, Eric. It's not a real minute. It means nothing. A symbol means something. Like a symbol at the core, at the bottom, you can play around with it. It's a metaphor. But it means something. This atomic clock, this doomsday clock, means nothing. And I knew that before I saw the picture. When I saw the picture of one of these scientists, I'm into popular science. I watch all these Discovery Channel things and Science Channel stuff. And this guy, this Lawrence Krauss, this guy hates Republicans.
How do you know that?
Because I've watched him on these popular science shows. Then I go to like YouTube and I watch longer lectures and science presentations that are put on around the country. And he's quite often one of the guys who's speaking on these things. And he's always, there is not an opportunity. I'll tell you, this guy can figure out a way to make fun of Republicans during a symposium on string theory. This guy hates Republicans so much, and I'm here to tell you, that's what the Von Hessler Doctrine is here for. I'm telling you something that I'll bet no other outlet anywhere is telling you. This guy who unveiled the Doomsday Clock and the new Doomsday Clock and the new time is a rabid anti-Republican. He hates Republicans. Don't you think that ought to be part of the story? Rather than these idiots at the Washington Post, oh my God, oh my goodness, they've changed the doomsday clock. What you're listening to, ladies and gentlemen, is the real sound of the world if we found out that we were 2.5 minutes from doomsday.
Did you record that on the street?
I did.
Yeah.
We thought that meteor was going to go past us, but no, it's not. It is going to wipe out 17 major cities. That's the only proper response to a threat of doomsday. These are not scientists. They are witches.
Burn him.
They are witches. This makes no sense whatsoever. There is nothing that Trump has done in 6 days that means that we are closer to doomsday. But this guy, look him up. Anybody look him up. Lawrence M. Krauss, K-R-A-U-S-S. And you will find a rabid anti-Republican, anti-conservative. Oh, but wait a minute. He's a scientist. Oh, maybe he proved that Democratic policies are better for the country than Republican. He's a scientist, right? These arrogant scientists. When are they going to do their march?
I was going to say, you better watch out, Eric. Mr. Krauss might move that clock a little bit closer after hearing this rant now.
No, I thought you were in a good mood today.
I am in a good mood. Because the Von Hessler Doctrine is here to tell people things they don't hear in other places. And every once in a while, bingo. Look him up. Lawrence M. Krauss, the scientist behind the Doomsday Clock, is a rabid. And you want to talk about arrogance? This guy, I can't even say the word what he is, but it starts with an A and it ends with an E. And there's a word that implies digging in there somewhere.
They've tweeted that their march will be announced soon. That's Science March DC. So don't worry, Eric. You can be there for them.
Yeah, we're scientists. Don't question us. Morons. We'll be back.
Eric Von Hessler on WSB.
That is correct. Listen to the man with the big voice. I'm the person. This is the show. Those other voices, they're doctrinaires. So just to sum up, because if I try to do all the Donald Trump stories in 1 hour, I would never get out of the weeds. So, Von Hessler Doctrine, on awakening the animal spirits of the business world, all for it, yay. On freezing bureaucrats and bureaucracies, all for it, yay. The wall, not my cup of tea, but you voted for it, so it's a promise, I get it. Humiliating Mexico's president. Thumbs down. No, the Von Hessler Doctrine doesn't really quite understand what that's about or why it is. But, you know, I don't know why, again, we have CNN on the monitor here in the studio. I guess just local pride or something. I don't know. But it's hilarious because I can't hear it, and I'm just looking at it. And apparently somebody, to Steve Bannon or somebody, said the media should keep their mouth shut, which seems ridiculous. But every morning on CNN, I just watch these pundits and people, and they're all just navel-gazing Trump has them dancing to his tune. You know, just every day, it's just like the media. Who are we? What are we? What should we do next? They spend half their 24 hours of these networks debating what they should be doing about this. And meanwhile, he's behind the scenes unregulating this and unregulating that. So I hope that that's a plan. I kind of think he's lucking into that because, look, let's just get the economy going and forget about who 3 to 5 million voters, and, you know, let's have a friend. If we can have a friend in Israel, what, Trump went in there and saying the way Obama treated Israel was horrible. Let's not replace Israel with Mexico. They are an ally. I know we have our issues, but we ought to be able to work them out together. So that's a lot of thumbs up for Trump, but not on the humiliating the Mexican president. So there's one more story before we get to Greg Russ that we didn't get to about marching. So the scientists are going to march soon. But what's with the Women's March now?
Yeah, so Time Magazine has used its February 8th cover to drive home the significance of the Women's Marches in Washington and around the country. And they've got this hat that they're using. I don't think I can say the name. Can I say the name of the hat that they're using?
We'll call it the Female Parts Hat.
Okay, perfect.
Here on WSB. just very quick on this. Let me look at this now. So the left, the resistance, has Time Magazine on their side. Trump has Twitter. Who do you think is going to win that war? I can't find Time Magazine. I got to be honest with you. I don't even see it in the checkout line at stores anymore. I don't know where you find it. I was at my dentist's office yesterday. I didn't see a Time Magazine. How do you even get Time Magazine in the year 2017? I guess subscribing.
You don't have a subscription?
No, I don't. I'm sure
it comes to your doorstep.
I'm sure it costs $2.50 a year to have a subscription.
I think you can get it free for 5 years, and then after that, you pay 5 cents.
You want to know why this is on the cover of Time Magazine? Because Time Magazine looked out and thought, maybe we can actually sell 3 million copies of Time Magazine. It's like a boutique thing. All right, I can't put it off any longer. Now is the time. Let's do it.
He's a misanthrope. He has a dark heart, and he needs a good psychiatrist.
New York, New York.
It's Greg Russ with stories from Studio B1.
You know what, Gregory?
What?
They have done research here, because you don't just put a show like this on the air without doing research.
Yes.
And it turns out that most listeners, and I guess most people, don't know what the word misanthrope means. I was in a meeting, and this came up. And there was some idea that maybe we shouldn't use the word misanthrope. People don't know what it means. And I thought, it's not, you know, we can challenge people a little bit. Google it. It's not that difficult.
Yeah, you don't even, you can just ask Siri to define it
yeah,
for you.
It's not that difficult. So I'm going to continue to use it, and I'm going to challenge you to go out and figure out what in the world it means. Now, before we get to stories from Studio B1, Greg Rust, you, like me, are into the popular science. We watch these silly science shows. We'll watch any show on string theory and blah, 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 because we're kind of silly. But, so you're familiar with this guy, Lawrence Krauss, the guy who's behind the doomsday clock. You know who this guy is?
Yes.
All right. This guy, just back me up on this. This guy is an arrogant jerk. Am I right or am I wrong?
I heard your rant before. I just to answer your question, strictly answering the question, yes, he's an arrogant jerk. He's like Richard Dawkins. Yes. That guy's a jerk too.
Yeah. Yeah. These are people that you can agree with or disagree with. These are people who are such jerks. You can actually agree with them and still think that they're jerks.
Well, the Dawkins book, The God Delusion, you know, a subject that I'm interested in.
Yes.
I have that book on my shelf. I never read it because I watched a video of him, and he's so full of himself
yeah.
that
I
have no interest in actually reading the book because of that, not because of the content or the topic, because of him.
No, it's and if people don't know The God Delusion, it's Richard Dawkins is an atheist, and he sets out to prove that there is no God, which is a daunting task, because I always heard that you can't prove a negative. So, but if you read this book, he just hates religious people, and he makes no sense. I mean, honestly, I'm open to any argument. I have an open mind. But it's just a hatred of religious people. And this guy, Lawrence Krauss, that's behind the doomsday clock, which you should know, hates Republicans. I've watched things on YouTube with this guy, and it's supposed to be about string theory, and somehow this guy figures out a way to make fun of Republicans in the middle of a science symposium, and this is 2008, 2009. So, at least when you're looking at this ridiculous doomsday clock, and Greg, what do you think of the doomsday clock? Come on, it's a stupid, it's not even symbolic, because a symbol has to point to something.
I like watching it. It's like those end of the world shows that they'll show on Discovery.
Yeah.
Or like you watch it. Oh, look at all the ways I'm going to die. So, you know, I use it as a reason to be miserable. I'm like, look, it's just ticking closer to midnight. What's the point?
As if you need another reason to be miserable. I'm surprised you even seek that out. But let me just say, if you want to watch something that really should scare the heck out of you, how about the debt clock? Let's feature that one. That's a lot more relevant to your life than some phony baloney art meets science intersection countdown doomsday clock. Anyway, give me a story or two from Studio B1. That's what you're here for, Greg.
Yeah, the serious stories. You mentioned Twitter. You know, you were talking about Time Magazine and Twitter.
Yeah.
By the way,
you're in New York City. Do you ever see Time Magazine? I don't know how to find it. I don't even know how to find a Time magazine.
I'm thinking about just even the newsstands on the sidewalk. I'm sure there's a Time magazine there, but I'm really focused on the Skittles at that point. What flavor?
Magazines in general. I was at my dentist office yesterday, and the table in the waiting room, you could tell that nobody even moves the magazines anymore because
I don't know. Have you seen the new Highlights magazine this month?
Now, if you were really a kid, maybe. But what happens is everybody just gets on their phone. Goes through their mail. So even the old magazines at the dentist office, people aren't even reading them there. Yes, Jerry?
You should check the dates on them. They're probably from 6-7 years ago.
I would imagine.
Them.
I mean, why would they waste money getting new magazines? Nobody reads them.
They've got a deal going on TimeMagazine.com. $24.95 for 52 issues
That's
of Time
outrageous.
Magazine.
Whoa. If they want to get people in, they need to drop that down by about $23.50. All right. Go finish your story, Greg.
Twitter's Moments, the Moments tab, it's being replaced with Explore. Who cares? I'm not on Twitter.
Yeah.
End of that story.
Greg
Let's
Russ,
move on.
Greg Russ has no social media footprint. He's not on Twitter. He's not on Facebook. I used to make fun of him, but I think more and more now he's actually looking like the smarter one. So Moments, I never even understood what that was. I never went there.
Yeah.
I don't like any kind of outlet through media to tell me what a moment is. My moment is the moment that I decided. I don't want you as editors deciding, hey, there was a moment. Did you miss it? Well, hit this tab.
You can't boss me, Twitter.
That's right. They can't boss me. So now it's the Explore tab.
It's good. Yeah, it's going to make it easier for users to keep in touch with what's going on in the world, and you know, also search through Twitter
for
different things. You can search for different things now.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a search bar.
There's
that was
a search
always
bar.
Yeah, you can always just check what's trending.
You know what I can't understand about Twitter is the President of the United States makes all of his news. I mean, basically, we're in a Cold War with Mexico based on tweets from the President of the United States. That's how important Twitter is as a platform. But they can't figure out a way to make money. They're not successful, and they're in the news constantly. I can't tell you, one of the funniest things in the world for me is to watch ESPN and watch these anchors read athletes' tweets about something that happened. And every single time they do it, the Twitter logo is up there. You would think that this would just be bringing in all kinds of people to Twitter. They can't make money, and they're failing. So, you know, if Moments didn't work, I'm going to predict Explore doesn't work, because we all know what a search bar is. Next story.
For the first time in 36 years, somebody's going to try a live Super Bowl ad.
Dangerous. Dangerous.
It's going to be Adam Driver of Girls fame. Not Star Wars. Girls.
Oh, that's right.
It's a Snickers ad.
Yeah, Greg doesn't watch Star Wars, so it's of Girls fame. It's a Snickers ad. So Snickers usually does the celebrity who's in a bad mood, and it turns out to be somebody else kind of ad.
Yes.
So what are they going to do? Is it going to be one ad, or is it going to be a series of ads?
It's going to be. I'm looking at the trailer. I've watched the trailer here, and it's vague.
Yeah.
It doesn't tell you anything, so they're teasing it.
It's going to be the beginning of the third quarter, I think.
Yes.
But this is dangerous. Although, you know, Super Bowl, I think they're – what are they charging this year, Jared? Do you know, Greg, what they're charging for 30 seconds of the Super Bowl?
Between $5 million and $5.5 million. For a 30-second ad.
If I was on a board of directors, I would know to try to fire whoever came into the office and said, let's do a Super Bowl ad. What an absolute waste of... How can you as a company not do better with your $5 million than 30 seconds when America's going to the bathroom before the game comes back? These things are so... There are always three or four ads in the Super Bowl that make no sense. Because there's small companies that are spending all their money on this, trying to get known, and they have a committee of people putting an ad together, and there have been three or four that I've seen that just literally make no sense.
If you want to be a real marketing genius and you're going to do a live commercial, you need to hire Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson, promote that, and then everybody's eyes will be on
anything
that.
Can happen.
Right.
Right. Because of the, what do you call that, Nipplegate. Can I say that?
You can.
Nip slip.
Hey, well, stop. You got to push it. She's pregnant, people.
That's not pushing it.
She's
I'm saying
pregnant.
Less than the word you did.
That's rhyming. That's rhyming. That's
okay.
Great. It's radio. Radio loves rhyming.
Hey,
although
I'm the man who refers to the women's marching hats as female parts hats, all right? Do you understand that my shock
really
jock days, my shock jock days are behind me? I'd rather not have a ring to it and still have a job come Monday morning. All right, our final segment, I believe Paul Stanley from KISS is here.
I just got here.
To tell us what we learned this week on the Von Hessler Doc. Jared was just telling me, what did somebody just Facebook me?
He says, Jeff Stevens says, there are 11.5 illegal immigrants here in the U.S. with all the states that don't have voter ID laws. Eric, it would be easy to find 2 to 3.
So that's what the president should do. He should start investigations based on a fishing expedition. It should be easy to find. No, if you're saying it's 3 to 5 million, Trump should at least say where he got that number from. He won't even say where he got the number from. You take all the people together that we have in all prisons and jails in this country, it's 2 million. If you had 6 million people, 5 million people, you would have voter fraud going on in every precinct all day long, and there's no evidence of that. So there should be no investigation until Trump says, I got this number from this place, this is why. The president shouldn't start an investigation as a fishing expedition because we think it would be easy to find this stuff. So there you go. If you just turned in, oh, that must be an anti-Trump show. No, it's not an anti-Trump show. It's not a pro-Trump show. It's an Eric Calls Him the Way He Sees Him show. And on our last segment of the week, we are blessed with the presence of Paul Stanley from the rock group KISS.
Thanks for having me. I love being here. It's a nice place.
Yeah, to let us know what we learned this week.
All right, well, we did learn a couple of things. President-elect Trump is upsetting everyone. Mm-hmm. Look, you can't make an omelet without breaking a few eggs, so let him just, you know, if you can't handle it, get out of all that stuff.
I looked on the internet for the rarest thing that can be found on the earth. You know what it is? White peacocks.
Ah.
But after seeing the interview last night, I think there's something rarer.
What's that?
Disagreement between Sean Hannity and Donald Trump. Anyway, go ahead.
I like Sean Hannity. He likes pillows. The doomsday clock is close to midnight. Does that mean if we don't end climate change, the world turns into a pumpkin?
That is
think
exactly
about it.
Which actually promotes more vegetation. I think it's a good thing.
I think so, and I like pumpkins.
I don't know how to respond to that. I've never had somebody tell me they like pumpkins before.
You just say, okay, I like them too, or I mean, I don't like pumpkins.
Like a four-year-old kid would say that to me.
Well, hey, I'm look, pumpkins are good.
What show are you going to see?
I'm flying to Vegas to see Marshmello, and I hope I don't die this weekend.
Do you know who Marshmello is?
Marshmello? I don't. What's Marshmello? Is that some sort of a play or something?
It's an EDM artist.
Oh, EDM. Yeah, that's all clicks and whistles. I don't get it.
All right. You know what? We do a podcast right after this. Go to Von Hessler Doctrine on Facebook. You can watch us do it Facebook Live. It'll be available on WSB Radio app later this afternoon. The radio hour and the podcast hour all together. The Clark Howard Scam Alert is next, followed by the WSB Expanded Noon News with Sabrina Cupid and Chris Camp. That was the radio hour of the Von Hessler Doctrine.
Eric Von Hessler on WSB.
Almost live from Sherwood Forest, hour two of the Von Hessler Doctrine, the podcast hour, begins now. We've actually lost one doctrinaire. Jared Yamamoto is on his on his way to Las Vegas to see an EDM artist named Marshmello.
What happens in Vegas stays right there.
Yeah. In Vegas, right?
Marshmello.
I wonder if the stuttering is caused by the EDM, all those flashes and beats.
Possibly.
It's epilepsy, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Epilepsy.
It's an epileptic tick. So that voice, Greg, he was with us on the radio side. He's still with us from Studio B1.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
No, I mean, you're still with us today.
So for the future, just know when I send you a schedule, say I'll be on the show Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I just mean Friday.
Yeah, he sent me the schedule about his availability this week. It all turned out to be as phony as that doomsday clock.
I tried. I was very stressed this week.
I'll bet. We'll get to all that. Let me do the introductions first. I really feel like I'm going to have to wrangle cats today. Everybody's up. Everybody's in a mood.
That wasn't me.
Tim Andrews, man of a thousand voices.
I just want that chocolate donut.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a moment.
Ooh, where?
There's a chocolate donut.
Wait, did he lose? Did he lose some voices?
No, he's a man
was
of
it
a
always a thousand. I thought it was like a man of a million voices.
No, a thousand's enough, right?
I think that's an overestimation.
It's possible.
Overestimation.
How's Marshmello? Anyway, terrible. I wanted to play some Marshmello, but Facebook Live knocks you off if you, you know, God forbid, I don't understand this. Mm. God forbid you actually, maybe somebody would be watching our Facebook Live and they would, oh, that Marshmello, that's cool.
You would think
so. It would be good to get it out there, but no, you can't.
Play like 15 seconds.
Okay, this is what it sounds like. There it is. That's what he's going to Vegas for. Okay,
sounds like something from Stranger Things. The science
show. Where's the show? Where do you know?
I don't know what the venue is in Vegas. Anyway, Autumn
the
Fisher.
The Hard Rock Hotel.
Hold on a second, Greg. I'm still attempting to introduce people. It's still her due date, and she's still with us because she's a trooper. Autumn Fisher.
Hello.
Now, just because she's a trooper doesn't mean that she's not annoying. Don't get me wrong.
I drew a picture of her.
Is this your picture?
Did.
Yeah.
It's very big. It's just a big egg.
Yeah. Wait, so the due date's today.
The due date is today.
I mean, the due date is somewhat meaningless. I mean,
when are you going to squirt it out?
What's that?
When are you going to squirt the thing out?
I hope it's soon. A lot of weird things have to happen. Like, their lungs have to be ready to breathe outside the womb, and that triggers all of these hormones and other things that happen that make you start.
And then your water breaks, and then you tell your husband you have to go.
Hey, I don't care about my birthday. Like, I really don't like celebrating it. It's February 2nd. But the idea of you having the kid on my birthday, now all of a sudden, I'm like, no, don't do that.
No, actually, both of my kids are in that first week. So I have my 18-year-old turns 19 on the 1st of February, and my 31-year-old turns 32 on the 7th of February. So, and my good buddy Greg Russ turns 35 on the 2nd.
I know four people who turn a different age on the 2nd.
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe I'll
Caroline Parsons, my mom.
Hang, yeah. Hang in there.
I should hang out with her. Will she come up to London?
No, she wouldn't go to London. You have to go down to Dorset. Down to Wiltshire.
I'm not going to be in London alone on my birthday. That was the plan.
Oh, really? Well, is this work-related?
No.
You're just going to go to London so that you don't know anybody that knows it's your birthday on the 2nd?
On my 25th birthday, I came to New York alone. And now I'm just going to go to London alone and kind of hang out.
If you were saying on the radio hour that people don't understand maybe the meaning of misanthrope, that is the meaning of misanthrope.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes. He doesn't like people.
I'm going to travel to London alone on my birthday so no one knows it's my birthday.
I'm going to go to movies and stuff. It's going to be just a trip.
In
like
London?
I live there.
You can do that where you live.
Yeah, well, no, do you have movies over there? No, they'll be English movies. We don't get those.
We don't have the best movies over here. I can tell you that right now.
Actually, you might be able to see the new Trainspotting 2 before it comes out in the States if you're in London.
There you go.
They're
off. They relapsed. Is that what happened?
Yeah. Yeah. No, you'll be in the first group of people to be disappointed by the sequel to Trainspotting.
The trailer looks really good.
Well, that's
I know, but what's the plot of it? They've relapsed.
It's 20 years on. Remember, he ripped off his buddies at the end of the last movie, so
spoiler
he shows
alert.
Up. Well, you've seen Trainspotting 1.
I have. Yes, yeah. I have.
I haven't.
Did you introduce everybody?
I think I've got everybody in.
Didn't get me in.
Hey, this guy over here is Jesse. He's running stuff. He's a good guy.
Hi, Jesse.
He's a good
Hang
guy.
Hang on. What is that, Jesse? Go on.
We're having a little technical difficulty.
Are we not on Facebook Live?
I just saw it.
Yeah, it froze, and they were having trouble hearing Greg and Autumn. I'm not sure why.
Okay, well, they're up and on.
Jared left.
It's Marshmallow.
This Facebook Live thing has been a thorn in my side.
Marshmallow did that. Yeah. Everyone should just take a part. Everyone take a part.
I'm hearing that it's working now.
They probably think there's something wrong with it now because of that.
No, we're doing our own Marshmallow EDM set.
It really does sound like EDM.
Marshmallow tribute band.
Man, you have got to be on drugs to be getting into that. That's what that's all about.
Just, I think we're.
It's just like tribal. Like when you see those tribes and they're just like the drums are going crazy and people are just like forgetting their names.
Jared doesn't consider like, you know, Ambien a drug. He's like,
Oh, no. He knows the tricks to Ambien. You take it, then you got to stay awake through the drowsy part, and then apparently you're high as a kite.
Right.
Is that true?
Yes.
I've never taken an Ambien in my life.
You just got to fight that part, but, you know, where the drug's doing its purpose. It's serving its purpose.
Yeah.
You're going to go to sleep. It's like, oh, I'm not going to. No, I'm not going to sleep. And then apparently it's wonderful after that.
Right. And so, that's the part that when you are sleeping, that makes you get up and like eat 5 pizzas in your bed. Not remember.
But you can be awake and have weirdness going on.
Yeah.
I've never. Okay, we're done with that. I've never. That's one of the. Just a drug I've never taken, Ambien. I've never taken. Do the end of like. Pac-Man or something.
They have air horns in that?
I'm sure somebody does.
I have I've never taken ecstasy. I look around this room, there are other people. I'm probably the only person in this room has never taken ecstasy.
I've never done it.
Well, you're not in the room.
Oh. Spoiler
Jesse says
alert.
He never has.
I had one experience with it.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. I threw up at Steve's bar.
On ecstasy?
Yeah.
Wasn't that your 40th birthday?
Yeah, so why not
you
try
that? You did that on your 40th birthday?
Yeah.
In McDonough?
Yep. And I went in the bathroom and I threw up on the cigarette machine.
Right. I remember that
The
story.
Birthday boy. I feel like I was at another birthday of yours where there was vomit on the floor at a restaurant.
At Lassiter's, right?
Lassiter's, yeah.
Why are you vomiting on your birthday all the time?
I drank too much and ate too much food. I don't
know. We were at a long table and people were eating, and then halfway through it, I found out that he had leaned over and vomited under
the
Lord. Table.
On the
and
floor.
Just left it there.
You know, if you were thrown up on the cigarette machine, that was a sign to stop smoking. Somebody was trying to tell you something.
Yeah.
He was fighting back.
Make all the fags soggy.
No, he went, I guarantee you, it's like, if I just get another cigarette, this will go away.
I booked my 40th birthday party at Steve's bar because I didn't want anybody to come. And boy,
yes.
Success.
Nobody, I didn't go.
I know.
I went to that bar like 3 times.
Yeah. Did you get the bologna sandwich?
I went there. I don't want to bang on
you. Steve.
You
got the mozzarella sticks.
I like
still frozen,
Steve's
right?
A friend of mine.
I like the food there.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
You just because he's a friend, you don't have to lie.
I'm not lying. I love the
No,
fries.
He's always said he liked
the food.
Yeah.
Was awful.
I've never been inconsistent with that. I like to
we
say
went
that.
Out there.
Freezer burn is an acquired taste.
Yeah. We went out there once for a Watch the Regular Guys Eat.
Yes.
Which I always hated those things.
That was the best.
And so we went out there. And you would think, like, this is the day. The boss is the guy who owns the place. His radio show is coming there. So you think they'd be on, you know, just like on their best behavior. I ordered a cheeseburger because this is what I do.
That was your first mistake.
Whenever I walk into a place and I don't know if they're any good, I just figure it's very difficult to mess up a burger.
Can't screw it up.
Yeah. So I get the cheeseburger and fries. Number one, it is served to me not on a real plate, not on a paper plate.
What?
On a styrofoam plate.
At a restaurant?
At a restaurant.
Hang on. You got to be green in McDonough. There's green down there.
Styrofoam, by the way, if you cut into anything with a knife, you're cutting into your plate.
You wanted that hometown feel, you know, like your mom... Yeah, went out in the back and had a picnic.
We're
and
picnicking.
Made a burger.
Yeah. Maybe the dishwasher was broken that day.
It took at least an hour.
It did take an hour.
To get this cheeseburger.
How many people in the bar?
I
busy?
Figured out what they were doing. And by the way, I love Steve and his wife's pregnant. And congratulations.
3 years married this
it's
week.
Not against Steve. I love Steve. This is just something that happened in my life that's worth remarking about. And I figured out why it took them so long. To get their food out.
Did catch the car?
Something like that. Because I worked on lines. I figured out at one point that what they were doing is when you put a ticket in, they would make that like one thing.
At a time.
At a time. Rather than having a line set up where you have stuff here and there and you put it together and you throw the burger on, whatever. There's usually a sort of an assembly line
while
system.
While the burger's cooking, when it's almost
okay,
finished,
you put
the salad together.
We need some carrots. It was like... So
each ticket was an individual project.
Took an hour to get the cheeseburger.
Well done or rare?
Medium.
Yeah.
I always say cook the E. coli out because I'm a funny guy. So I get it on the styrofoam plate, which is just a styrofoam plate does not make you hungry. It does not make you want to eat. The cheese that is on top of the burger is half melted and half cold.
Oh, I hate that.
And I'm thinking, this is the person who works with the guy who owns this place. I can't imagine somebody walks in off the street on a Wednesday evening and orders a burger. What ends up happening? But I love Steve, and that place is gone now. He's probably still paying for it. That was a bad idea. Right from the very beginning.
I don't think it was a good location, the access road.
It was a good idea, bad location.
Yeah, bad location. And he threw himself
into... The place itself was real big and kind of nice.
It was nice. No,
it was.
I mean, it was... But I think it's one of those rooms... What was it? Double D's or something before
he
took it over?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it one of those rooms that just never... Like, it's always something else a few years later?
Went from double D's to double S.
Yeah, for some reason, there's a... In my... where I come from, Rochester, New York, there's a corner... Like West Henrietta Road and something else. And there's this building that has been like 7 or 8, 10 different restaurants since
I remember. There's one in every town,
yeah,
I think.
But it's on a road where there's all kinds of successful restaurants. It's like Successful Restaurant Row. But for some reason, there's this one building that just cannot get successful. It makes no sense. And so maybe he got that building out
there. I think
he
did, yeah.
Because he was right next to that barbecue place that's been around for a while.
That place was always busy.
Yeah. So
I remember we went down there one time. We went there.
I love
eat.
Steve, but that food was terrible. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Not as good as these. Are we back up on Facebook or no?
What did you eat?
Okay.
Hang on. There you go, Jesse. Sorry, Jesse.
What did you eat, Tim?
I had the fried bologna sandwich, and any other time I went there, I got the chicken wings or chicken fingers. And one time, I had to send them back because they were frozen, or they weren't frozen; they were thawed but uncooked in the middle.
Yeah.
See, chicken fingers are my go-to at every bar. You know, the chicken fingers—you throw it in the fryer for 10 minutes; it's done.
They've been frozen for the last month.
There shouldn't be any chicken left in it.
Shouldn't be difficult to
not
get sick.
Breading.
Yeah. Whenever I'm in a place where I just it just seems touch and go, everything fried. Because you're gonna fry all the disease out of it at the very least.
The prison princess pageant was pretty good down there.
Yeah, was it?
You didn't go to that?
I remember being really, really embarrassed for my career, myself, the host.
Why?
Everything. I don't know. I was 48 years old or something, 47, 48 years old, acting like I was a 23-year-old shock jock. That might have had something to do with it.
These were girls who had hot mug shots, and so we did a pageant with them. And they showed up, we got them all prison outfits to wear. And, you know, it was like one of those stupid pageants we used to do, Greg, you know, like the
pregnant bikini,
yeah. You know. And we did the prison princess, and it was a lot of fun.
Was it a lot of fun?
I had fun.
I was there. I don't remember it
being
fun.
What did the winner get of the princess prison princess?
Bail.
Money, bail. Yeah, we called it bail money.
You know what you do is you get in these people's lives, and so they're actually, their families come to cheer them on.
Right.
And we had judges. We had somebody from Collective Soul. Will?
Was one of the judges. No, it wasn't Will. It was always...
No, it was...
Ed.
No,
it was, Ed.
No,
it was... Yeah,
no,
Ed.
The bass player.
No, it wasn't. It was Will, because he lived out there.
Was it Will? Was it Ed's brother?
Oh, Will Turpin.
Will Turpin.
Yeah,
that's right. So he was one of the judges, and we had a couple other judges. So it wasn't done by audience response. And these women who are young and already have records...
They're convicts.
Right. Right. So they bring their families out with them, and by the end of the night, when so-and-so isn't winning, because this is what she based her next month's revenue on or something.
Yeah.
You know, and then the parents are getting angry and yelling at me about how it's not fair, and I'm trying to communicate back to them that not only do I not know if it's fair or not, but I honestly don't care who wins this thing. And I'm never going to see you again. And please leave me alone. I'm trying to get all this out to people.
Were there promotions people to take care of that?
Oh, there was no. There was no. Oh, awful.
There's Vinny Bucci.
Vinny Bucci was there.
We did two of them. One at Wild Bill's and one at Steve's.
I didn't do the second one.
Yeah.
I don't think I was. Maybe I was gone already.
It was 2013. You just didn't go.
I just didn't go.
You'd always just never commit and then never show up.
Yeah, I never showed up to the Halloween things. We were always doing these Halloween things. And you know, a big thing at Wild Bill's, Halloween. So one year I actually go.
I did one of those.
Did you dress up?
No, of course I didn't dress up.
No, you have.
I went as my favorite radio personality, Eric Von Hessler. So
everyone else, I assume, on the show dressed up.
Oh, yeah, they all dress up.
I always do.
Here's the thing. I show up, and it's like Wild Bill's. The establishment doesn't even know we're there.
No,
like,
they're doing their own party.
They're doing their own thing, and we're there.
Weird.
And I get there and realize I was completely right never to show up at this thing for years. Beyond, but whatever. That's the old business.
But it's funny.
WSB now. And
lessons learned.
If WSB had a Halloween party and asked you to dress up, would you do it?
No.
They do a thing here where there's a Halloween.
I would steal Clark Howard's
costume
Tesla.
Contest. Jesse here was Alice Cooper this year.
Yeah, Jesse did a great job. He was a great Alice Cooper.
But they do it in the office in the morning. It's not a drunken night thing.
I don't dress up. I'm not going to say my age. It bothers Autumn.
Just say it.
I'm in my early 50s.
Whoa.
And I know.
Gross.
It's gross.
So gross.
So
I saw photos of you from 8 years ago on your Facebook the other day when I logged in. It said, "Hey, Eric Von Hessler, remember this memory?"
Hold on a second. First of all, he only logs in as me on my Facebook because he doesn't have his own Facebook account. So
and the years you've gone gray quickly.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Hey, you're going to be 35 in a week or so. So
old man, look at my life. Greg, you have any stray gray hairs coming in yet?
Oh, I have plenty of gray hairs.
Yeah, they come in weird places to begin with.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they do.
No, not there yet, possibly. No. But they're coming in my head, but I don't care.
I was...
I welcome them.
I believe I was 34 when I came to Atlanta. So you're well on your way now. You're on the Hessler Express. It's only a few years
I believe
years
I was a
now.
Year younger than you when I came to Atlanta for my very successful job and career and started living a life of a lot of money.
Just because I was rich and locally famous when I was 34, that's nothing for you to measure yourself against and think that maybe you're not having as successful a life as I did up to that point.
I could have chased the radio bird around. Could have been in Portland, Oregon right now.
The radio bird.
Chase the radio bird. It's a white, what did you say it was? The white...
It's one of those white peacocks.
Peacocks, yeah.
The radio bird.
it flies and you chase it. And you said that's the rarest. What is that? The rarest thing on the planet?
Yeah, I think that I worked at the bird radio station somewhere. In-
hey, it's the bird right here with you downtown. Eric Von Hess will be coming up. What a name you got there, Eric Von.
What a name.
That's a heck of a name.
That's a heck of a name. That's a mouthful. Speaking of mouthfuls, we've got Jill from the Starlight Lounge coming by later.
Because we're your rock and roll and boob station.
That's right. Hey, we're going to put the picture up on our website. Hot babe of the day.
Hot babe and of people the day. And that's what they're going to do. Hey,
ooh, Clive, I was the hot babe of the day once.
Clive Cliverson's here. And radio consultant. And for rock and roll, you guys have done studies and you found out that rock and roll audiences also like girls' boobs.
We found out a long time ago that what guys like to see on a radio station's website, because you really have nothing to offer your audience on your website.
Especially classic rock. There's nothing new, right?
Well, you got some old stock photos of like Led Zeppelin and Aerosmith, and of course they look way older than they do in the photos. And your DJs, they're generally not attractive. No offense to Nick. He's a handsome young man. But generally speaking, you know, they pipe in some hot chick from another city. Probably doesn't really know anything about the music. She's just got a nice set of fake cans. Mm-hmm. So what you do...
Enough about Lindsay Marie.
I'm Jill on the Classic Rock.
Yeah, there she is.
Jill. Yeah.
Jill, yeah. I interviewed Jill to get her on the station.
I got a lot of tattoos.
Yeah, sure you do. I love that sleeve.
And you, Jill, you love rock and roll, don't you?
I love rock and roll. Joan Jett.
Yeah.
Another time in the jukebox, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. See, she doesn't even know what a jukebox is. Never seen one.
Yeah, what is it, like a place where you hold your... change, I think, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Jill, I think since her second rehab stint has been just great. I think she's really...
Thanks, man. You know, I'm working really hard.
She got off of
still
the...
Still in meetings.
She got off the Oxy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still doing a little Vicodin because, you know, I like either Vicky.
That's right.
You know, pretty clean. I'm not drinking, quote-unquote, anymore.
I would like to say keep it straight. Oxy and Vicodin are different things. Vicodin's hydro. Come on.
Yes.
Hey, a pill's a pill when it comes to Jill. That's what we say around here.
laughing her way all the way to the grave.
We did find out that that men like to see scantily clad women. You know, you could go to a different website. It'll only take you a microsecond to find a naked girl. Yeah. But right here at Rock 92.78.
Titillation.
I never understood that idea, Clive, because it seems to me that once you're on the internet, it's not difficult to find women who have no clothing on whatsoever, yet you would... put people on the rock and roll website that were scantily clad.
But the babe of the
can
day.
Can I answer that?
Well, hang on a minute there, young man. The babe of the day is to these guys somebody that they might know from their hometown.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, they're like at the deli counter at your grocery store.
That's right.
I trust the radio station to curate my music, and I also trust them to curate my not necessarily porn, but just scantily clad women folks.
Here's another great idea. Come up with a hashtag that nobody's going to retweet.
Rock cans?
Yeah, something like that. See,
hashtag rock cans.
Your morning show DJ's real jealous of some guy in another market.
Rock cans?
Rockcans.com.
Yeah. Show us your rock cans.
Hashtag bagel and hot dog in the morning.
Yeah, bagel and hot dog. Oh, they're the good morning show. They're coming out of Milwaukee right now.
Yeah, they've been very successful.
Bagel and hot dog.
You know, you can sense some tension here because Clive Cliverson was the man who fired Decker on 99X.
Yes,
yes. He just said he was too weird for the room. And he
coughed the nest.
Coughlin had his day, but it doesn't really, you know, Coughlin was visual. Speaking of visual, what you really want to do is have your webcam on the entire time you're there.
Yeah.
So they can watch you voice track the breaks you don't really care about. Get those liner cards out. Hey, you know that band you just played might be in your city by the end of the year.
Yeah, I noticed that. It's like a new thing
now. Yeah, I just give the website out for the band.
Yeah. Check them
out. Check their website for tour dates.
Hey, did you hear Joan Jett is a lesbian?
That's so hot.
Yeah. Still rocking at 60.
Jill is she's pretty open-minded herself. She likes the dudes, but she's not close-minded.
Jill will do anything if you give her a bottle of pill.
Well, that's true. I mean, Clive knows that firsthand.
Yeah, sure do.
Well, look.
I interviewed Jill, remember.
Yeah, I know. Then
how do you think I got this job? I was so high.
Yeah.
I don't remember what I did, but I got the job, didn't I
took her out of Poughkeepsie, New York, and turned her into a star.
That's right. Coming up next on the Rock Block, we've got Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
And I've got a new cut from, well, I don't know, here you go.
No, I want to...
Get the lead out.
WCOK.
Where do you go for your prep? Is there a rock and roll sheet that you go to, Jill, to get your little stories?
Well, yeah, I get an email, like a daily email that we're all supposed to read.
Yeah.
Yeah, I write it myself.
So I talk about contests and, you know, the hotlines you call and the 56th caller.
Don't forget, it's the big game.
To the hockey game.
Yeah, you can't say Super Bowl.
We're partnering with a car dealership in town to give away a pair of tickets to the big game. All you got to do is put your lips on the side of the car, and whoever stays there the longest gets a ticket.
And when are they getting a ticket to?
The big game.
You know, I almost started today's show. I forgot
to do
this. You
get access to a bar that's playing the big game.
We're going to give away a toy.
Yes. Yeah, but who cares if they're that's off air, right?
You're forgetting the way they used to get around that. They used to get around that sometimes. It's like soup or ball.
Yeah.
Like there was promotions.
S-O-U-P or ball. Yeah, that's a good
I was going to start today's show
on
the radio.
You can say
side.
Super Bowl on the radio. You just can't link it with a promotion.
Well, that's the thing, though. But what bothers me is people go overboard, and you hear people saying the big game when they don't have to. I was going to start the show today just going Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl, because I'm a free man. I have the ability to use the language, and the NFL has bullied people so much. Now, I understand that you can't have a sports bar and use their Super Bowl logo to bring people in without being an official partner. I get that. But what happens is people are so afraid of the NFL that they actually work it into just talking about the game and refer to it as the big game, which is idiotic.
It's happening right now. Down the dial.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
But you're allowed to say Super Bowl as long as you are
not. When you mention a client, you can't.
Yeah,
you can't say it. You, okay, Jill. I'm
yeah,
not saying,
Jill. I told
you. I'm late on my rent as it is.
Oh, do you need a couple? You need me to float you a couple bucks?
I mean, yeah. I mean, it'd be great.
All right. I'll swing by around 4:30. Are your kids there?
I mean, my mom's going to keep the kids.
All right.
But
you're in luck, Clive.
Book a half hour for me.
Rent's, you know, my half the rent's $500, but I've got, you know, other things.
Yeah.
You know, I need like $750.
Maybe if you wouldn't spend so much money on the pills, you'd have plenty of money for the rent.
But you don't understand. If I don't have the pills, then I get sick and I can't.
Yeah, okay. We can't have her be
like,
sick.
Work.
Yeah, you wanted to be at work.
So I have to work to make money. Yeah, so yeah. I don't understand.
She's got
to
pay off that. She's got to pay off those tattoos.
Man, ever since you put
her in a room.
Well,
I'm getting a new one this weekend.
Oh, sure you are.
Well, you get a new tattoo?
Yeah, it's going to be a tiger on my butt cheek. Because on my other side of my butt cheek is a gorilla fighting a shark.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
so God. I wanted to have something also like aggressive on my other
Don't forget
side.
To say where you got that at. Bill and John's Tattoo Revolution.
Oh, my God. Go
on
see
Highway
Bill.
42.
Or John.
Yeah.
That's quite a menagerie of animals you have on your ass. That's very nice.
I feel like I identify with animals a little bit more than I do people sometimes. You
yeah,
know,
you,
so.
Sure. You can't relate to... You can't relate to people.
People screw you over, man. I'm telling you.
It's a cheeky zoo is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's funny because you're British or whatever.
They're on our adult contemporary station.
Who?
The cheeky zoo.
Clive, I blame you for this condition of Jill. Ever since she hung out with Lindsay Lohan on that promotion out in L.A.,
yeah,
she seems to have gone downhill.
Well, they're simpatico, aren't they?
Yeah. Mm.
Well, Lindsay's like a Muslim now, so we haven't been hanging out.
Yeah, she moved to Dubai.
I'm just writing down.
Lindsay Lohan, she talks like this now because she's from Greece.
Has she adopted a new accent?
Yeah, Lindsay Lohan, she talks like this now because...
Jill will be sounding like that in a couple hours.
I like Jill. Bring back Jill. I like
hey,
Jill.
Hey, I'm back. It's me.
I've worked with Jill in more markets than you can possibly imagine.
Oh, my
Who's
God.
The inspiration? Who's the inspiration for Jill? The real life inspiration, because I have someone in mind.
He's going to be mean. Greg always has to go places.
No, I'm not even
Clive,
say who
Clive,
it is.
Isn't this why you got rid of Decker? Because he doesn't know the boundaries.
Decker, didn't we talk about this? You can't really go after the people that you work with. I don't want you attacking these people because.
Hey, Clive. Clive.
Yeah.
Let's speak openly here. I went to therapy and I told my therapist that I wanted you to die.
Well, how'd that work out?
I said that I wanted it to happen in front of your son. This is a real conversation.
Oh,
I had.
My God.
I said, and she said, wouldn't you prefer him just to get caught with child porn or something so he had to suffer? I said, no. I want him to get hit by a car and I want to watch his son watch the life leave his body.
Man, you're dark. You're dark, man. You're dark.
So if I was.
I totally get that.
Chill out, Jill.
A psychiatrist. If I was a psychiatrist, I would be calling the police on my clients all day long.
I can't do that.
Like, I just would have, you know what? I don't know.
I did not threaten.
This guy
there was
is
no,
dangerous.
There was no threat. There was no threat. I said I wanted it to happen. I wanted to see it. I didn't say that I was going to do it.
It's a little, you know, a threat.
How, we all think that. I mean, come on, Eric. You think that way, too.
No.
Just admit it.
No.
We all think that way.
No, I don't want anyone to die.
I just want
of
my.
Of course you do.
I want my bosses to be let go because the company is bankrupt. That way I get a golden parachute right into that position.
It's an optimistic outlook.
Sure it does. I got a tanning appointment here in about 10 minutes.
I notice you're not quite as orange as you usually
I'm a little,
are.
So I'm a little
are you coming over before or after that?
Because
I just need like, okay, so like maybe like 8:50.
No, I'll be there at 6 like I said.
No, she's saying she needs $850 now. This is going from 500.
Oh, you don't worry about the money. We'll discuss it.
Okay, that's fine. Just, you know,
bring the pills to her and she wouldn't have to go out and
I can't be seen or caught with these pills.
I'm just not feeling that great today. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, you're a little
feeling
weak.
Sick.
I'll be there. We'll do
and
the
I can't, thing. I can't work.
Why don't
if
we,
I don't feel good.
Why don't we make it an even grand? We'll do that thing you don't normally like.
Okay.
All right.
I'll do it.
Can you talk up this Heart record that we're about to play?
Hey, coming up next on the Rock Block, we have another set from Heart. And then
very good.
Commercial break.
Don't forget, they'll be playing Darien Lake this summer.
You can catch them at the fairgrounds this weekend.
No, they were still together. They're still together.
Actually, doing separate tours this year, I think. The girls and the
girls. Really? If you dial in and you're the 50th caller, you get a backstage pass. Okay, it's not. It's just a meet and greet. Okay, it's not. It's just entrance to the fairgrounds.
No, you get the meet and greet. They'll come out, look at you derisively, and leave. Yeah.
Get one photo.
Has there ever been a meet and greet in history where you felt like the artist actually wants to be there?
We gave Tom Petty a guitar and he just went, thanks.
There? Yeah, Lakewood, yeah.
Yeah, we made
why
it.
Why did you give him a guitar?
Well, first of all,
he's got plenty of guitars. So
I do think it's an awful thing to give
him. It
I'm going to take Tom Petty's side on
Tom,
this.
Tom, you might love that 1957 Fender you have now, but this 2002 chrome Fender Mustang is what you really need.
Are you
going to
use
collection.
It tonight? No, man, I'm not.
No, we gave him throw the key. It in the garbage.
We gave him the key to the city.
What we did
was Tom Petty Day.
We created... We got a proclamation from the mayor. Who was the mayor then?
It was Shirley, wasn't it?
No, it was before her.
Campbell?
Campbell.
Yeah.
Got this is a long time ago.
Yeah, we got Bill Campbell to do
this. This is back when Tom Petty was in his 60s.
Yep. I thought he was going to keel over to
so we got a proclamation to make it National Tom Petty or Atlanta Tom Petty Day. And we took it to him in the meet and greet, went backstage, and I handed it to him. He went, oh, wow.
That's great.
And Chris Rude was there, and so was his sidekick, that girl. I liked her a lot.
Beth
Keppel. Yep. She was awesome.
Yep.
This is like 98 or something.
No, I was thinking of Beth
2001.
Earlier.
2001. And then we gave him the guitar, and I still have a picture of him, and the look on his face, he's just like, wow.
Yeah. And immediately, as soon as you guys walked out or he walked out of the room, there's like right in the trash can.
Yeah.
Where's he going to put that? What's he going to put? Like a warehouse?
Hey,
of this?
Get this tuned up, man.
I don't even understand why. So why does Tom Petty do a meet and greet? He doesn't have, I mean, it's just.
Actually, I don't remember if listeners were there.
No, they weren't.
Oh, it was just because it was Tom Petty.
It's a radio thing.
We did one with Aerosmith, and Tim Rhodes creeped out Joe Perry.
Oh, yeah.
Because he kept saying, man, you're good looking. Man, you're sexy. Joe Perry goes, all right, man, chill out.
Okay.
He said that. He's like, all right, man, chill out. Creeping me out.
I would love to hear the conversation, like just 2 minutes prior to Tom Petty having to leave whatever area he was in to come see you guys.
Who
just
are
like,
they now?
Being his thing. Oh, man, do I have to do this? Tom, we think it's best that you do it. I mean, you know what? I'm doing it for you, but you owe me one.
Yeah.
And then they have to walk in and just do
it. I remember thinking he was so high. He was so high.
Petty? Oh, yeah, dude.
And
dude.
He was so, he had that, his girl was with him half his age.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, he was so frail. I thought he was going to fall over.
Right. He was skinny.
I just don't even know why they do that sort of thing.
Rush was nice.
Fingers were yellow from nicotine.
Rush does it, but the drummer, Neil Peart doesn't do it.
Getty and Alex.
Yeah.
Some bands are great at it, man.
That was a nice time.
But
that
doesn't
was
Rush is one of those bands that charges for it, though, right? They do it as a
means
of revenue.
More and more bands they all do the VIP now. Thing. Now.
Well, who would pay for that?
Super fans?
Who was the best band?
What?
Well, as Nick said, some bands are really good at it. I'm just curious who's the best.
Who's the best I've met?
That you've come across.
Oh, Steven Tyler of Aerosmith was awesome.
Yes.
Katy Perry.
Steven Tyler is...
Just in person. Perry.
Well, Steven Tyler is just a show business guy. He understands it. So he would turn it on even if he didn't want to, because he's smart about show business. He knows.
Metallica were great. Metallica were awesome when they met their fans.
When Collective Soul were in their heyday, we did a meet and greet. And you had to go to the back of the Tabernacle, and everybody had to stand in a line and not be quiet. I mean, and be quiet. Everybody had to line up against a wall, and they just walked by and limply shook people's hands.
I did one with Joan Jett a couple years ago when she opened for The Who.
I did one there. I saw her do coke.
And I didn't see her do that. She came out.
I'm that's not, a heck too. Of a...
Basically, all in the room, around the wall, she stands over there, you go up to her, pose for the photograph, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like not time to say anything, or it's like, that's all they want.
There's no need for it.
I got a great photo of it.
Why do people want photos of them with famous people? I don't get that.
This was 88, the fall of 88. They were playing Mansfield University, and I was the head of the one of the committees or whatever that brought it in. So I had to go get food, and I walk in with some plates of food for her and her manager, and she goes, "This town have any Perrier?"
She's awesome.
I said, I don't know. I could go look. She goes, "I doubt it."
Dude, she's great.
I don't know why they do it. They don't want to do it. It's an inconvenience. It's a pain.
I think that
does Rush need the extra $15?
Metallica was really cool to us.
Yeah, if they want to do it, they should do it.
And that wasn't a money thing. That was just like, here's some listeners. We're all meeting you.
Yeah, they were really cool.
At Turner Field
it.
Before the show. It was great. Yeah.
All right. Well, some can do it well and some don't. The hell? Do you still want one of my
mini?
What are those mini donuts? What are they called?
I know that. Hey, do you know this reminds me? Autumn, you're going to love. Yeah. Why did you make that noise?
Because she's hungry.
I want it.
She wants it.
I want a donut from you.
Listen to that crinkling of the packaging, Autumn.
I stopped at Starbucks on the way and got an old fashioned.
To it.
Is that Jerry Farber?
This is
and who's the comedian that had diapers on one day?
Hey, Tim, take a bite of that into the microphone.
Hold on. Wait, you're all over the place. You're talking about comedians with diapers. I'm talking about
what's happening?
Chocolate donuts.
It wasn't Jerry Farber.
Who is Jerry Farber?
Jerry Farber is a local comedian who used to own the place.
He's on the Kimmer.
Yeah, but he owned the place where the Punchline is, but it's not Jerry Farber. It was another Southern comedian who came in one day wearing a diaper.
How do you know he was wearing a diaper?
Because we heard it crinkling, and then for the next couple of months, I would always have a cigarette wrapper, and I would do his voice.
Hey, the traffic here in Atlanta is terrible.
Can you quiet your diaper down?
Do you remember Tim Frazier and I just like laugh every time we did the diaper?
Was it that Southern guy?
Clower.
Clower? Not Jerry Clower.
Wasn't it?
No, Jerry Clower was 100 years old by 1995.
Hey, who was the wrestler that Jim Carrey, Andy Kaufman got into it with? Jerry Lawler.
Jerry Lawler. So,
Let's talk about famous Jerrys.
Yes.
Jerry Garcia. I had an uncle, my late uncle Jerry, who was in the Royal Navy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't care.
Jerry Taylor.
I don't care.
Aw.
So, sorry about that. Don't mean to be mean.
No, it's okay.
Guess who followed us on Twitter?
Who?
Mrs. Freshley's.
Oh, yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up.
No, I don't know what they're... I don't know. Obviously, somebody...
Is it real?
Let them know.
Tell her to follow me.
I think it's Mrs. Freshley. Yeah, it says Mrs. Freshley. Maybe it's fake. I always fall for this stuff on the internet. So maybe it is fake. I don't know.
It might be somebody.
No, but
the same
is it verified?
Well, I don't know. I didn't look at it.
Why don't you know?
Well, because I saw it. And I went, oh, that's cool. And then I moved on with my life. I better verify whether or not this is the real Mrs. Freshley
on
Twitter.
Her relatives are going to sue you, Autumn, because she's really not that old. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's a setup. This is a setup for a lawsuit.
Mrs. Freshly.
You have to look on your thing and see who.
I think it's real because it was Mrs. Freshly Snacks.
What? Yeah, that's it.
And so somewhere they got the
How
word.
Many followers does Mrs. Freshly logo? Snacks have?
Is there...
They're verified and they have 2,300 followers.
That's not bad.
I'm not too sure about how it works.
So you handle your own Twitter account, Mrs. Freshly?
Well, my granddaughters helped me figure it out.
Mm-hmm. What are they, in their 40s?
Well, they're 70s. Yeah.
They're retired now.
They're much older.
Mrs. Freshly is 126 years old.
Oh, you know, they're not too sure how it works, and so I'm not too sure either, but I try my best. I feel like
this is a pretty good amount of people to follow. 2,600?
I don't think it's very high for such a large brand. It's really? A lot of Freshly.
It's a lot of Freshly bars to make every day. 2,300.
Truck drivers don't have Twitter.
Hey, headquarters in Thomasville, Georgia.
Oh.
Well, this is why maybe they've gotten the word. They know that we have Mrs. Freshly on our show all the time.
Well, I'm just proud to be in Georgia. I mean, born and raised. So. Why would I move my production anywhere else?
No, you want to give jobs to Georgians.
Of course. And I mean,
although you don't really
don't require too much of
that's
them.
Right.
I make most of my snacks.
She makes all the snacks in her kitchen, and then she delivers every morning to every machine in the city.
Like Santa Claus.
Yes. It's amazing.
It's a very special time in the morning that I reserve just for my snacks and my bacon.
Do you think we can get a special 95th birthday basket for WSB? Because we're about to be 95 here.
Basket of snacks. Of course you can. I mean, what kind of snacks do you want?
She was only like 27 when we
were on
the air.
I know. We signed on.
Wow.
She was a young lady.
I remember the first broadcast.
What was it?
It was quite a day.
Didn't you tell us that at first you were able to get it off like a
saucepan lid?
Some sort of saucepan.
Back then, you know, the signals were not as regulated. I bet not much of anything was as regulated as it is now. And I swear to you, I was over on West Peachtree Street back when it was just a horse and buggy road.
Dirt road.
Yeah. And then when I was a girl, we used to play with pebbles and sticks out in the road. Never had to worry about it. If you went out there nowadays, you'd get right run over.
You sure would.
But I used to, you know, they started the signal. We heard about it, that the new radio station in town was starting up. So I remember that morning, and I could hear the radio station in my cast iron. And I said, "What? Mama, what is this?" And she said, "Well, baby, I think it's the radio station." I could not believe my ears.
Were you making eggs or something in the cast iron?
Well, my mama every morning made biscuits and gravy. Biscuits from scratch.
Did y'all let Beulah and Xerxes listen to the radio, or are they just not allowed?
Oh, no, that, you know, we kept
this is sort of racist comment. I have no idea what that means.
They were their servants, Beulah and Xerxes.
I
could listen to Mrs. Freshly all day.
You know, not everybody in the South. I mean... Not everybody in the South.
We don't have to get into race relations, Mrs. Freshly. I mean, we were just being followed by you on Twitter.
Yeah, let's get back to your products. I just want to know what the inspiration for the pecan twirls was.
Oh, well, my great-grandmother, she lived in South Carolina, and she had a pecan tree in her backyard. And I used to collect pecans up. She used to send me out, "Go on outside and get the pecans." I said, "Okay, Grandma." So I went out there, collected them, you know, whenever we were up to visit. And then we decided to make them into a treat because we have so many pecans, you understand?
Yes. And is it a twirl or a swirl? What is this? It's a pecan twirl?
I'm not going to tell you. You could call it a twirl, call it a swirl, no matter to me, as long as you enjoy the taste.
That's right.
I mean, the packaging says twirl, but that could be misleading on purpose, misdirection. So you don't hunt down the actual
conspiracy.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean,
it could actually be swirls, and they just want us to think it's twirls.
Mrs. Freshly was
the buddy bars.
I don't understand you, son. I don't understand what you're talking about, but I'm just trying to be nice and let you know that, yes, it's a twirl.
She's getting short.
You
want to
call it a twirl? That's fine with me.
You know what? You know what he did? He got her blood up. He got on the wrong side of Mrs. Freshly.
It's going to be time for a Mrs. Freshly nap soon, I think.
Yeah. Sounds like he needs a buddy bar. Is what he needs.
Buddy
bar.
His donuts are dwindling.
Oh, Tim wants one of my I'm eating the mini donuts, the chocolate. I know they're not good for me, but they taste so damn good.
Oh, well,
I can't stop.
The best
I wouldn't
wax
say
ever.
They're not good for you. I mean, well, need a little
you
bit.
You have two
of
you haven't touched.
Excuse me.
Hold on a second. Hold on, Mrs. Freshly. This guy,
Tim's hungry.
Smokes like a chimney. One of the most unhealthy people around.
Right.
He doesn't want to eat a donut that my hands touched. All right, go ahead.
Now let the young man smoke.
Thank you, Mrs. Freshly.
Do you still smoke?
My grandfather smoked like a chimney, and he lived to about 97.
Wow.
He died pretty young for our family. It's all right. Everybody, if you think, Eric, now listen.
Yes, ma'am.
Everybody in the past smoked.
Yes, true.
Not everybody died of smoking.
No, but everybody
so
did.
The young man prefers a cigarette after dinner or after a long day at work. Let him have a little cigarette for himself.
Thank you, Mrs.
So,
Freshley.
A buddy bar and a cigarette is a good way to end each day.
Well, you know what's nice in the morning is you get a nice cinnamon bun and a black coffee and a little bit of a cigarette. Now, I used to smoke back when I was just a girl.
What, 90?
That was just
92,
93?
You're 92, 93 years old back when you were just a girl.
Oh, yeah, when I was much younger, 96, I believe it was. And I gave it up because my doctor said it was no good for me. But I said, well, every once in a while, I catch a little cigarette. It's not going to kill you, just like my cupcake. You could have yourself a cupcake, or it's sort of like a Twinkie, but I don't call them Twinkies.
You seem to me like a lady who might enjoy a corncob pipe. Okay,
Uncle smoked a corncob pipe. He made back then. You know, they made them out of corn cobs.
Yeah, that's why they're called corncob pipes.
You ever send your sons out to rough up the Tasty Cake people?
Oh, now I knew a Tasty Cake.
That family.
Those are carpetbaggers.
Yeah.
1937, more Georgia. Of the cakes.
They set up a factory here in Georgia for a while, but they it was during the Depression. They tried to make something happen.
How about little Debbie? Ever smack her around?
My homegrown treats.
The story I heard with little Debbie was they were best friends. They were actually neighbors, and there was a falling out.
Mrs. Freshley and little Debbie are actually related. I believe little Debbie is your niece or something. And it's too bad the stories you hear about you guys not talking or, you know.
She ran away with some of the recipes. She took some of them.
This is little Debbie.
We did have a falling out. Now, Debbie, it's true.
Now we have little Debbie here. We've given you plenty of time. I want to hear your side of the story. Did you steal Mrs. Freshley's recipes?
I cooked the recipe for the peanut butter and made my signature peanut butter sandwich. I came up with the ideas for zebra cakes one day when I saw two people at the zoo looking at a zebra and eating one of Mrs. Freshley's boring, unfrosted cakes. I said, well, let's take that cake and make it into a zebra cake.
I promised you a long time ago I wasn't going to fight with you anymore.
We haven't had this kind of conversation
no matter, even if I can prove that you stole my fudge creams recipe. Now we both know that.
Pinwheels are nothing at all like pecan swirls.
My mini donuts, you stole that recipe.
Well, the big point of contention is the buddy bars, which are the Mrs. Freshley's, and the nutty bars, which are the little Debbie.
I'm the one who added the two extra layers of cookie wafer.
This is what she does now. She takes a little bit of the truth. She adds
something to it. Hang on, let me hit my vaporizer.
Now, you see,
I quit smoking
listen.
5 years ago and have been vaping ever since.
Now, you see how much healthier I sound than this young woman. It just shows you what a life of lying and cheating will do for you.
I got a cloud competition to enter later. They call my device a mouth fedora.
Now, she's trying to stay young and hip with the people.
That's
Eric,
right.
I think you would agree with me that that's just no way to live.
Well, once a year, we take a different mold for the zebra cakes and we make it look like a Christmas tree.
Now, you notice that's... I have never stolen that idea, though I surely could have. Because I myself am a woman of clarity and truth. Unlike this young lady.
It's interesting you say that, Mrs. Freshley, because there's a story.
Wait, Greg, hold on, Greg. I threw my back out a couple days ago.
You gotta be careful, young man.
This is actually physically hurting me.
Well, we gotta look. There's the story, the official story behind the Swiss rolls is that Mrs. Freshley had a Swiss family move in across the street in the year 1918. They moved in, and this is a variation. This is a variation on the recipe from that Swiss family. But
yes.
Looking into the records of Georgia, the first Swiss family didn't actually even move into the state until 1928.
And that's what little Debbie brought. That was the Debbie's contention.
The official story of the Swiss roll says this happened in 1918, and there's a real discrepancy.
They were the
German
document. You preach truth and virtue to me, and you are full of it, really, is what I'm trying to say.
Like you're getting mighty heat.
No, I think that what you are.
He's getting uppity.
All I'm saying is that I think that you are a businesswoman who seizes opportunities and uses her sweet image to manipulate people into giving their money for mediocre snack cakes.
Well,
my goodness.
I got to stick up for my grandma or whatever, aunt.
Listen, let me just clarify something.
Yes.
Like I said before, things were not as documented as they are today.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, so they were very convenient for lies, right?
Greg,
man, have yourself a fudge round.
Such a young man who has no
those were my favorite.
Have yourself oatmeal cream pie.
Well, I think what Mrs. Freshly is saying is that there could have been a Swiss family across the street in 1918, and it just went undocumented because in those days things weren't as documented.
I know the story.
About something like that. I don't
tell them the truth. They were Germans, and it was so close to the war that you didn't want to tell anybody.
Now, they may well have been from Germany and just told maybe they had some ancestors, some from Switzerland, I don't know, but they just would hang out in the kitchen with me and my mom.
You know what, Mrs. Freshly? I feel like...
You want a banana twin?
I feel like if Mrs. Freshly sold a Swiss roll and had the ability to manufacture
that's
it,
right.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I don't think at the tender young age of 127 that she needs to be defending herself.
No. Now listen, young man. The
Greg?
The angry man. Yeah. I'm going to send you a limited edition strawberry-filled cupcake. And I hope that we can mend these broken ties.
Before they get there, look in the mail for some jelly cream pies.
Well, now you go ahead and eat those jelly cream pies, but you just need to understand that it's coming from a young woman who has stolen recipes from my great-grandparents.
You never...
And made her life's work
aunt,
on a lie.
Aunt, what?
And if you feel good about yourself eating those treats when you know coming from a liar, then you go right ahead.
The fudge rounds were never part of your recipes.
Your fudge rounds... I'm sorry. Let me just calm down.
Calm down, Mrs. Freshly.
Mrs. Freshly Friday.
Does anyone want to play Jeremy Hostess?
What?
I don't even know what that is.
Does anyone want to play the role of Hostess. Jeremy Hostess?
Hi, it's Jeremy Hostess here. We have
now,
some of
Jeremy
the best snacks.
Did you?
I used to do all the internal I did all the decorations for Mrs. Freshly's house, and I found this recipe book open one time, and I said, Jeremy, you need to steal this right now. Oh, my God, you could make it. And I was the hostess with the mostest.
So you fessed right up to it. You stole the recipe.
Sure,
recipes.
Yeah, zingers. Oh.
I've done a lot for this young man, and he's left me in the lurch.
Oh, I'm so sorry, you know, because hostess makes the best snacks ever, okay? I'm the one who said,
my recipe.
Okay, let's make this delicious little thing and make it so it never expires. You can eat a Twinkie 150 years after you bought it.
Something about when you said that word Twinkie, you lit up.
I love Twinkies. Especially the fudge-covered one.
Twinkies don't stay around long in my house. No. They're gone.
They're
can
so
I
good.
Tell you guys something? I don't like Twinkies. And look at me. I'm 52 years old. Sorry, Autumn. Mentioned the age. I'm eating mini donuts. I'm a snack hound. And even when I was a kid, I don't get what is great about Twinkies. It's just that yellow cake
I don't buy them, if they're around, I'll
crappy
eat
cream inside, not even
now,
like good cream.
If you hear this young man's voice, you'll understand why so many Hostess products are filled with cream.
You drove Dolly Madison off.
The ho-ho, the ding-dong, cream pie.
Dolly Madison was the first lady of the United States.
I know, but she...
When Mrs. Freshly was born.
I remember.
They have the best coffee cakes.
Oh, what a cake episode.
Hey, Drake? Oh, yeah, the British British Drake is now in the room.
You know what?
I made a trip over to the United States in the early part of the 20th century. I had a nice meeting with Mrs. Freshley, and I said, well, your cakes are delicious. We can't call them something else in my country. So we decided... would you please let me finish? I know you speak very slowly, but that's not par for the course.
I apologize for interrupting.
This is very American.
Did I take over? Were you going to do the voice? I'm sorry.
No, I want you to do it.
No, because we decided that, okay, Drake's is coming
in.
You
know, I don't mean to interrupt, so I'm sorry for interrupting.
Well, there we are. Drake's cakes are some of the...
I would never mean to do something like
that. Wait. The Duke of Entman is also in there.
This is the Duke of Entman!
My chocolate donuts!
No, so the funny bone. See, we took the funny bone. We took the idea of the Swiss roll. And instead of free cream frosting, we put peanut butter frosting in it. Decided it's a funny bone. And we took the drink and we called it Drinks. And we thought, well, over in London, people wonder, they don't know what a drink is, but they'll know what a drink is. And then have yourself a sunny doodle. I think there's orange in it.
I think the Entenmann's guy has to be some sort of... Nazi like this. Yes.
You will enjoy the Entenmann crumb cake, or you will not leave this room.
Okay.
It is the best crumb cake in the world.
You anti-crumb cake.
And our donuts, our soft donuts, the cinnamon variety Yabble. Are the top. Yabool! Yabool!
Autumn, it's time for you to go. It's 6 minutes after
you
one.
You know I have to go.
Have a ring ding! Have it, ring ding!
I just love being Mrs. Freshley.
Oh, it's wonderful. We're going to do a whole Mrs. Freshley podcast, as if we did today.
Mrs. Freshley's voice to me is so relaxing. I can just listen to her.
Thank you so much.
You should do audiobooks so I can go to sleep at night.
It was the best of times. Call me Ishmael.
Okay, man. Get on out of here.
Hey,
please keep your fingers crossed that I... squish out this baby.
Well, I hope that you do when your husband's around, because we found out in the last show that you're like 40 miles from the hospital.
I'm 30 minutes on
30
when the
minutes.
Wind blows right.
You know, if it happens in the early hours of the morning, there won't be a lot of traffic.
Oh, really. It'll be fine. Yeah. Listen, you're in labor for a long time, usually.
Usually. All right. Good luck.
Thanks.
Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
See
you.
Bye.
Greg, so warm. Bye.
I said bye.
You
that
know.
Was nice.
Since the whole show has been Mrs. Freshley, and I'm all fine with that. This guy, I'm still on about this doomsday clock, because I just want people to understand.
2.5 minutes to midnight,
it means nothing. It means nothing. And because I have Greg here, we talked about it on the radio hour a little bit. This idiot, this guy, Lawrence Krauss, back me up on this, Greg. Just a complete and total douche. Right? This guy hates anybody that's not a progressive liberal.
What's his background?
Democrat.
Who is he?
His background is he's on these, Greg and I see him, he's on these popular science shows, about string theory and such on the Science Channel and things. Are we having trouble again?
Just some static.
Okay. That Mrs. Freshley stuff was so good.
Static.
I would hate for that Mrs. Freshley stuff. If I go back later on and the Mrs. Freshley stuff is not being heard on Facebook Live, I'll be very angry. Not at you or anyone in particular. I'll just be...
Mark Zuckerberg.
I'll just have rage. Yeah, against Mark Zuckerberg.
There will be the audio portion of it that you can download.
That is correct. Yeah. So, this guy...
Lawrence Krauss, I mean, he wants to be one of the popular scientists out there, and he doesn't know really his approach to that. So, yeah, he puts on his attitude.
He wants chicks.
Well, look, here's the thing. But nobody mentions it in the coverage. Because they just say scientist.
But when did he take over the doomsday clock?
I don't know.
Because,
I don't know.
Because that thing has been around since the 40s.
Yeah.
And how old is Krauss? I'm going to look at it. Krauss is...
Count the pockmarks.
Come on, Al. Don't go low road.
He's 62 years old. He was born in 54. So, and the doomsday clock was from 47.
Yeah. Well, I mean, those guys aren't still alive who started it.
No, I understand that. But when was he handed the keys, the key to wine?
I don't know if he's even the lead guy, but I was just looking at stories and I saw pictures of him being the guy unveiling the new countdown clock. And it's interesting to me that in none of the stories do they mention that this guy is a rabid anti-Republican, which is fine. This is America. He has every right to his own politics. But for people to act like, you know, when you say scientist, what you're trying to get across to people is neutrality, right? Just open to the facts. A scientist, not an emotional response, but a scientific response that is based on facts as best as they can be gathered. And no one in any of these stories says, oh, by the way, this guy is an extreme Republican hater. And I think that should be in the stories. I mean, you don't have to put it in that language, but that he is an
critical
activist. He's a progressive activist who hates Republicans. You know, that might give you some idea as to why the countdown clock
has changed.
Yeah, but okay, it's not only him. You can say that's an idea. They're saying it's the rise of nationalism. Trump,
the rise of
certainly
Greg. It started with the atomic scientist. It was about nuclear weapons, atomic weapons, and how atomic weapons would end the world. Not climate change. Not all of these other. Not rhetoric. You know, it was about the fact that we suddenly, as human beings, had the ability to end humanity. So it was an idea to sort of put it out there.
Oh, sure. No, I understand that.
And that's, you know, there's no conservative or liberal that you can find that would argue with the idea if we let go all the nukes, humanity would end. So that's a fact.
There are a lot of people are troubled by the Trump presidency and troubled by things like Brexit. So maybe the feeling of
but
the world is
different. But pretend that that's science. Right. And so these scientists are so – they can't understand why there are people who disagree with them on the climate and things like this. And I was talking about this on the radio show. The scientists were the ones who became political. And when they became political, well, that – you're not going to walk into a political arena and not be challenged. Mm-hmm. That's the idea of the political arena. When you say, oh, he threw his hat into the ring. That means it's on. I understand. It's going to be a battle.
And it's not just about science at that
and
point.
And for scientists to step into that and feel as if everybody's just going to bow down and just agree with everything they say, they made the mistake of becoming political. And this doomsday clock is another example of that. It's not science. There's nothing scientific about it being 2.5 minutes till doomsday. Nothing. Greg, can you think of anything scientific? A scientific metric that says, I will put the clock at 2.5 minutes before doomsday.
No, it's just a gauge. I don't know why you're getting so riled up about
because
it.
Because people buy it.
Because it's the Washington Post. The Washington Post headline is, hold on here. The doomsday clock just advanced. Thanks to Trump, it's now just 2.5 minutes to midnight.
What was it before Trump?
It was 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
Before Trump. The last time they updated it was 2015. It went from 5 minutes to 3 minutes.
Because of Obama? 2015.
That's why I think when they started
North
getting
Korea.
Into climate change. Yeah, the modernization of nuclear weapons in the United States and Russia, problem of nuclear waste and climate change. I think it looks like I'm trying to figure out when climate change actually. If climate change were going back to 2010, it's there.
Yeah.
Nuclear test in North Korea was 2007.
I got news for you. Kim Jong-un is 900,000 times more dangerous with nuclear weapons than Donald Trump. But it just ain't fun to be against Kim Jong-un because nobody's for him. It's just a lot more fun. The idea that in the last 6 days we moved 30 seconds closer to doomsday is idiotic. It's idiotic. And why does it bother me so much, Greg? It's the way that it's covered. Oh, scientists say, this is science. Are you one of these science deniers? Of course.
Is it presented that way? I think, yeah, it's a nice story to pile on with the current political climate. But is anyone saying that you deny science if you say that this clock is arbitrary?
Okay, let me just say this. Nobody's saying that, but there's no doubt that this is hiding behind science.
Hey, by the way,
trying to appear to be scientific.
Sure. I mean, because the scientists are in charge of it and they supposedly have a better grasp of, you know, these things.
Right.
Krauss is a jerk, by the way. I'll still agree with you. That guy's full of himself.
He is so arrogant. I have turned off. I go to these. I love the science stuff. I love things on string theory and stuff like that. And it doesn't get really deep enough on Discovery. So you learn about it there. And then you can go to YouTube and you can see these great sort of presentations done by really smart people. And sometimes I like to watch those. And anytime this guy is on, I end up turning it off because he's so arrogant. He's so full of himself. And how you end up always criticizing the Republican Party when you're at a symposium about string theory, I have no idea. But he does that. And, you know, for years ago, I turned him off. This guy just hates conservatives. He hates anybody that's not a total Dem. And so he turned me off. And this story's been going around for 2 days, and I didn't notice until today that he was the guy that was unveiling. So that's why I'm full of the pee and vinegar.
The venom.
On it. Because I noticed that guy.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I don't know. It's a goofy concept. It's been around for a while. It's something that, you know, people like to scare themselves. They look at it, and I think that's serving that purpose. I saw the headlines yesterday, but I didn't read the story, so I wasn't sure if it was being presented in such a manner. Where it's like, this is science, and you better believe this.
Science! Yeah.
1991, by the way, 17 minutes away from midnight.
Because of the end of the Cold War. Soviet Union, end of the Cold War, and then we started getting rid of nuclear weapons.
Yeah, arms reduction treaty.
Or nuclear.
Just call it what it is, the doomsday gauge. Huh? The doomsday
gauge. It's not even a gauge. What are the who decides? So if liberal scientists don't like a Republican president,
that's not right.
Then things are more dangerous suddenly because I don't like this guy.
Yeah.
So right there, you just have no reason for it. Maybe I've said too much about it, I guess. It is a stupid thing. Perhaps I should have more faith in people that they're not stupid enough to follow.
Hey, you can get angry that Krauss is involved and he's a jerk. And then he is a jerk.
You need to stop going to these progressive tech blogs. I go there all the time. And all these millennials and they're woe is
me. He just wants to be loved like Neil deGrasse Tyson and Krauss. He can't get it.
He's not handsome, though.
Well, no. He's got the pockmark thing. And a lot of times when he shows up in these documentaries, these science shows, he's like, they've always got him like shadowed. Like
don't like him too bright.
Like Meet the Beatles or something. Right. Like half his face is dark.
John Merrick.
I am
John Merrick. I am
not a scientist.
I am not a number.
Man, I killed my voice doing that.
But Little Debbie?
Yeah.
Oh, that was awesome, though.
That argument is going to make my weekend. All right. Go ahead and hit it. That was this episode of the Von Hessler Doctrine. We'll chat with you on the next one. Until then, go Falcons and get off my lawn. I mean, I know the Falcons are playing this weekend. I'm just saying go in the next week.
Yeah.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.